How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
He said, "I expect to die in bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr. His successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and help rebuild civilization, as the church has so often done in human history."
This is a solid case. Classical historians would sell their grandmothers to get this kind of corroborating evidence for the authorship of secular works of antiquity.
There's countless stories of the praise and worship leaders who end up losing their faith altogether, and it's no wonder. This is a dangerous place to find yourself as the manipulator of both God and man.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
I believe that 40 years ago, I was a fourth grader. A 10-year-old boy living in Dallas, Texas, blissfully ignorant of many things that children ought to be blissfully ignorant of. One of the things that I was only tangentially aware of was the Vietnam War, which on the 30th of April, 40 years ago today, well, Saigon fell. What did that mean? I did not know at the time what that meant. I was only aware of the war in Vietnam as it raged on because we had POW bracelets that we were given to wear, names of soldiers who were missing in action, who were prisoners of war, or perhaps even killed in action. That's about all I knew. And yet it forms the foundation of much of American history in the latter part of the 20th century and the early part of the 21st century. 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon is tomorrow. On this Wednesday afternoon, April the 29th, Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us to remember it. He remembers it much better than I do, I can assure you. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will join us. We'll take up two issues. Bruce Jenner, gender dysphoria and transsexualism. We'll also talk about ethical concerns regarding in vitro fertilization. In particular, what do you do with frozen embryos that are so-called left over from the process? In the second hour of the program, Mark Stern, an attorney in Chicago, is going to join us. He recently made a presentation at the Association of Confessional Lutherans and Luther Academy on same-sex marriage, the challenge of its U.S. legalization for pastors and congregations. We'll get his thoughts on what this is really about. He says the issue is never the issue, and that this is not about same-sex marriage, but about something deeper and broader than that. We'll get his thoughts in hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line. Questions, comments, anything you want to do to join the conversation, whenever and wherever you listen, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's founder and director emeritus of the League of Faithful Masks. He covered the Vietnam War over a period of 5 years, and he's author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, A Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. Uwe, welcome back.
Thanks.
What in your memory stands out most from the fall of Saigon?
Well, in my memory, stands out my absolute distress, which has lasted, by the way, 40 years over this event, and my anger. Distress, I watched the fall of Saigon on television. I lived in Paris at that point. A few years earlier, I had covered the Paris peace talks and got angered by the evident betrayal of the South Vietnamese people and of South Vietnam. And the other thing is I literally wept, and I haven't quite recovered from it since, because it was so unnecessary, it was so absurd, hence the word, the title, Triumph of the Absurd, that the communists should have conquered. having lost that war in 1968 during the Tet Offensive, and I was a witness of that. I was in house-to-house combat with the American Marines, with the South Vietnamese forces, as a correspondent, not as a fighter. And I watched them win this offensive and destroy the infrastructure of the communists and kill half the invading forces from North Vietnam. The North Vietnamese and the local communists had attacked 100 towns in a breach of a truce for Tet, the Vietnamese New Year. It was, I cannot tell you how angry I was about that.
So how is it that having won that decided victory there in 68, it came to 1975, the people fleeing for their lives in Saigon?
Yes. Yeah, it's quite fascinating, isn't it? First of all, how did it come about? It came about because after the Allies had won this war militarily, without any question, and even psychologically, in Vietnam itself, not in the United States, then Walter Cronkite came in couple of weeks later, and just opined that the Vietnam War was unwinnable and had to be negotiated, and peace had to be negotiated. There was no reason why. And we were all dumbfounded. Even the North Vietnamese, we later learned, were dumbfounded because they realized that they had lost, okay? So, and that gave a shifted the American public opinion to the point that they agreed to a very, very cheap and disgraceful deal, which the North Vietnamese never honored, although they signed it. And they also, the Americans promised to get back involved in Vietnam with bombs and other stuff if the North Vietnamese violated that agreement. And of course, Congress in 1973 voted to defund the Vietnam War, and so therefore everything that that had been accomplished was in vain. The North Vietnamese came in huge forces from the north with tanks and everything else, and the people fled always since the very beginning. In fact, since the division of Vietnam in 1954 between the communist north and the south, the mass movement was towards the South, towards freedom, towards the Americans in the end, but in between, before that, obviously, towards the South Vietnamese, never been in the opposite direction, which simply did not sink in with the academics and the news, the mass media here, or let's put it this way, a substantial part of the mass media here. And so this is what it came about. And in the end, you have these horrible pictures, of which you could see on television, in fact, yesterday on PBS, horrible pictures of these betrayed people finally being left behind. And then you had millions who fled, boat people and others, hundreds of thousands who drowned in the South China Sea, at least 100,000 South Vietnamese soldiers and officials were executed, more likely 150,000, by the North Vietnamese immediately after their conquest of Saigon. And then hundreds of thousands more went into concentration camps, were tortured. I'm surrounded. I live in Southern California now, and I have very close friends. We have a big Vietnamese community in Westminster here, almost 200,000, surrounded by the victims of this who are still in a daze because they've been tortured. They have suffered such immense brain injury. They've been tortured. None of this you normally get in the American media because they still sell this thing as a victory of the liberation forces. There was no liberation here. It was a conquest by totalitarians.
So what was the permanent effect? You've talked here, obviously the most profound permanent effect has been on the people of South Vietnam. But what was the most permanent effect on American thinking and public policy? Well, actually, not just public policy, but international policy.
Well, on the international policy, the permanent effect was let's turn it this way. The further effect was to tell every potential enemy of the United States and the West, any potential enemy of democracy, that the Americans, that the United States, will ultimately betray A, their own soldiers who've died and fought or been wounded there, and B, the people they have actually come to help. In the 1960s, Vu Nguyen Giap, the North Vietnamese defense minister, told commissars of one of the divisions that the enemy, meaning the West, is psychologically and politically not equipped to fight a long, drawn-out war, a people's war, as they called it, okay? Ultimately, they would conclude any bogus deal simply to bring the boys home at a certain time because they had no patience to sit this thing out. This was later, this was read obviously by the people who we are now fighting in what I believe to be World War III, the ISIS leaders and of course Osama bin Laden, who is now dead, who quoted Vu Nguyen Giap. The conviction that we will not stand up and fight and will not stand up and fight for our beliefs here in the West is bringing us to the brink of what I think has brought us into what I believe is now World War III between the West and between an even more evil movement than the communists of South Vietnam, who were, of course, an extension of world communism and the Soviet Union.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're remembering the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, which occurs tomorrow on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 29th. When we come back, about another 10 minutes with him, his remembrance of the fall of Saigon and its consequences. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will join us then. We'll talk about two issues, Bruce Jenner, gender dysphoria, it's a condition, and transsexualism. We'll also talk about the ethical concerns surrounding in vitro fertilization. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're remembering the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. He covered the Vietnam War over a period of 5 years, author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, A Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. Uwe, talk a little bit about the mindset of the soldier there. You covered this, as you said, even as a correspondent in a combat situation. What was the mindset of the U.S. soldier there during the course of what had started as a victory and turned into a humiliating defeat?
Well, the mindset of the American soldier was distress and ultimately a sense of futility, because they did not receive the proper support from at the home front here in the United States, especially after 1968, after they had seen how they had won the war, and how badly that was reported here. By the way, not by combat journalists. There were excellent American combat journalists there, but it's by the media stars such as Cronkite. So that is one thing. The other thing is the horror of having witnessed the enemy using terror as a means of politics. And that is terrorizing, massacring civilian populations. And these massacres were not duly reported. I witnessed the aftermath of this terror attacks. Two of the most horrible scenes were once when I got into a village that had been visited by Viet Cong forces, and they had massacred the mayor, his wife, and their 12 children, all hanging them up. The mayor had his tongue cut out and his penis cut off and shoved into his bleeding mouth. His wife had her breast cut off. His children, the male children, had their penises or their genitals cut off and stuck into their mouth before they were hanged, slowly hanged from trees. I saw this. This was a means of frightening village populations into submitting to communist rule. The other thing I saw was in Hue during the Tet Offensive, or after the Tet Offensive, standing at the mass grave were anywhere between 500 and 1,000 women and children and old men had been buried. They had all been murdered by the Viet Cong, by the invaders, because they were, the Viet Cong estimated that these people would never support a communist regime. And then there was an American television team stalking about this rim. When a colleague of mine asked them, why don't you film this? They said, we're not here to film anti-communist propaganda. And this is what has changed the mindset of a majority of Americans. It's the media. It was the first time that there was such enormous media malpractice. First time, to my knowledge, in American journalistic history, and which had this devastating effect of which we're suffering now, and everything that's coming our way now. And I think I'm very pessimistic about what's going on. It's rooted in the abandonment of Vietnam, because the Americans and the West informed the rest of the world, and chiefly all our enemies, that they cannot be counted upon to see something through.
So, as you say, the Viet Cong won this, and the communist forces won this by terror, not by force, necessarily.
Not by force, and certainly not by popular support. No, they won it by terrorizing people. By the way, this is the same was true in the French days already. They terrorized people with the most appalling, horrifying forms of massacres that you can imagine. This is their history. And Ho Chi Minh, the North Vietnamese leader, made it very clear that he didn't see himself as a national liberation sort of leader. His goal in life was to effect the conquest of the world by international communism, by Marxist-Leninist theory. He said this, and he had been an agent or a functionary of the Comintern, Communist International, run by Moscow, since 1923. That was his goal. And what the Americans didn't realize was that, I mean, the public here, they were witnessing a hot extension of the Cold War somewhere out in the Far East, with all the cynicism, conducted with all the cynicism and cruelty that a totalitarian regime such as a communist regime or a Nazi regime or now an Islamist regime are capable of.
So what do you say to those, you spoke earlier about the survivors from the side of the South Vietnamese, what do you say to those Americans who regard themselves as survivors of this war?
Well, the Americans who regard themselves as survivors, well, let's talk about the military, because I'm addressing very often Vietnam veterans, or quite frequently, and I keep bringing up the question, was it worth it? You risked your lives, you were wounded, horrible scenes, you were bad-mouthed by your fellow citizens, you were called baby killers by girlfriends and wives, etc., etc., etc. Was it all worth it? And there, of course, as a Christian, and especially as a Lutheran Christian, I say, you've had a calling like everybody else, like a baker or a journalist or anybody else. We have vocations from God. You were called to support allies in the Far East. You did your job well, and whatever came out of this war, first of all, you weren't the rulers, according to Romans 13. You were not the governing authority. You were being sent, so that's fine. Secondly, you don't know what effect your sacrifice in Vietnam will have 100 years from now, because you're not the lords of history, neither are we. God is the Lord of history, and there is obviously he will turn things, make things right in the end. How this is going to come about, God only knows, because he is God and we are not.
Let's talk a little bit about going forward with the new enemy that you mentioned before that is, yes, as you said, more evil than even the regimes of communism. You said you're not optimistic. What are your thoughts there?
Well, because I see exactly the same refusal to see reality as I saw it in the 1960s and 70s when you fought, the Americans fought communism, which was a very dangerous enemy, but a communist that could be conquered because they themselves, meaning the leaders, were afraid of death, which, of course, these other people, our current enemies, are not afraid of death. They want death because they think they are going to go to paradise and will spend the rest of eternity in the company of 72 virgins or whatever. Our leadership does not even acknowledge the identity of these allies, and then the enemy. And what's even worse is that the majority of our churches do not use this as do not use their own tool, which is evangelization, to stand up against the enemy who believes, obviously, in a false God. We have this in Europe. The sister church of the LCMS actually baptizes Muslims there, and to a rather substantial degree. The mainline churches do not. They cater to the enemy. And we are selfish. We think, you know, maybe it's okay for us now, and then ultimately we will let our children or our grandchildren sort out the consequences. And they won't be able to, because we're not protecting them. I mean, the United States withdrew its forces from Afghanistan and from Iraq, with the result that this Islamic State is now spreading, is spreading further and further and further to the West, right to the doors of Europe, and already into Europe itself. And the identity, the characteristics of the enemy are not even being acknowledged. Watch television, watch your politicians, all they say. They don't even acknowledge that we are actually fighting, we are confronted by an enemy who wants to wipe out Christianity. It's a stated, their stated goal. Your president doesn't say anything about that. Your politicians, yes, some of the opposition do, but it's all waffling instead of standing up. Yes, it has to be done. This is a fight that has to be conducted morally, militarily, politically, and in every other field.
Uwe, before we let you go, what kind of feedback are you getting from Vietnam vets on your book, Duke Triumph of the Absurd, Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam?
Very good feedback from the Vietnam veterans. I had people cry in my sessions. I got wonderful, wonderful messages. I was just addressed a group of Vietnam veterans of former helicopter pilots in Las Vegas for the convention. And they said, well, somebody finally tells us the truth, and you have seen it, and you're telling the world what really happened. And they feel betrayed, and they feel very grateful that people stand up for them, because these people are still suffering 40 years hence. I mean, there's a lot of PTSD and a lot of sense of abandonment among Vietnam veterans, both Americans and Australians, as well as Vietnamese. And so they are grateful, and I think, especially since, same as with us, because I'm 78, as we are physically now slowing down, obviously it's much more difficult to overcome psychological handicaps, which are the result of experiences in the Vietnam War.
Folks, you can find out more about Duke Third Edition, Triumph of the Absurd, Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a regular guest, founder and director emeritus of the League of Faithful Masks. He covered the Vietnam War over a period of 5 years. Uwe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer. He hosts a podcast called Christ and Culture. I'm going to take up two issues with him, two separate issues. First of all, transgenderism, sometimes called gender dysphoria. The most prominent example of this, it's really kind of bizarre, but it's true, is Bruce Jenner, who, well, he decided he would finally admit that he thinks of himself as a woman, that he wants to be a woman. And it was probably about 15, 20 seconds later that the headlines were booming, that he has made a brave decision. We'll talk about that and also the ethical concerns surrounding in vitro fertilization with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer right here in the next half hour of Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of April.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.